to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning, the 30th of September 2020. Andrew May's with you for the next 25 minutes as we run through the latest in the world of racing and sport. And let's start with the footy as we build up to the first weekend of finals. Just one sleep to go until Port Adelaide host Geelong at the Adelaide Oval. Meanwhile, on Friday, though, a lot of the storyline is revolving around Harris Andrews. Will he play? We know Tom Lynch has been ruled out. So does that perhaps put some conservative thoughts into the minds of the Brisbane coaching staff? Here's Chris Fagan.
If Harris Andrews is fit, he plays because he's in our best team. It's looking positive. I think by the time we get to Friday night, it's 28 days since he injured the hamstring, which is plenty of time for a hamstring to repair.
Meanwhile, overnight in the French Open, Novak Djokovic returned to winning ways after his last appearance at a major where he was defaulted from the US Open.
So Novak Djokovic moves to 32-1 on the season with an emphatic win over Mikhail Emer.
6-love, 6-2, 6-3, very easy stuff for Novak Djokovic. Plus, we had an Aussie winner. More on that next.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
The Breakfast Club with Huff and Whitey will return after 6 this morning. Lots to get through on the show as well. Russell Milton with an EPL update. Craig Gabriel with a French Open update. And the early mail, hasn't this been a turnaround? Another winner yesterday, and the boys will try and get you a midweek winner on a Wednesday. Just before 7 o'clock. Sherelle McMahon to join the guys after 7 this morning, building up to the Super Netball Finals, of course. Supercars with Cameron Waters from Tickford Racing, and a win on the weekend. Speaking of Super Netball, Caitlin Thwaites is pulling the pin after 54 games for the Diamonds and plenty of seasons for the Vixens as well. We'll have a chat to her after 7:30. Jaden Short from the Tigers to join us. Just to check in with their preparation to see how they're shaping up ahead of Friday night's clash. And then after 8, looking forward to this, Nick Revolt, St Kilda legend, as part of the RSN Legend Series. And I'm sure he'll be a bit of an emotional man this week, seeing the Saints back in the finals for the first time in a while as well. So looking forward to hearing from him. Don't forget, after 8:30 this morning, we will hear from Michael Felgard on Racing Pulse. The Melbourne Cup Diaries will continue, as will the legends of the WS Cox Plate. Looking forward to hearing who today's legend is. And then after 10:30, RSN Central with Gareth Hall. A lot to get through, of course, with Gareth on a Wednesday, as always. Let's start, though, with the footy news from yesterday in the build-up to what will be a fascinating first week of finals. And as I said, the story that has dominated the headlines in terms of Friday night's clash after Tom Lynch has been ruled out has been the fitness of Harris Andrews. Let's have a listen to what the man himself had to say about how he's tracking.
I haven't had a lot of sort of injuries in the past, thankfully, so I had full faith in the guys that play their roles at the club as high performance and rehab guys. So they move on pretty quickly from when you do your hamstring to getting back to moving and running again. You could call it aggressive, but it's quite quickly the turnaround. So it's been really positive and my body's responded.
I feel like Harris Andrews has done a press conference for the last 15 days straight. He seems to have spoken to the media up there in Queensland every single day. So at least we've been well informed as to the progress of his heavy injury. But we probably won't know until Friday night anyway. Let's hear from Chris Fagan now on the challenge of the Tigers. Don't forget, the Lions have lost the last 15 they've played against them.
You guys were asking me about Harris Andrews a few weeks ago and I said we're not the Harris Andrews Football Club. I'm pretty sure Richmond Footy Club aren't the Tom Lynch Footy Club. And they've proven over and over again over the last 3 years that they can cope with players out of their side because they have a very strong system that they believe in, and I'm sure that won't change for Richmond, and for us, we'll just be being prepared for the best that Richmond can offer. You know, if you study our form over the year, I think we have less of a reliance on our absolute star players. We've seen remarkable improvement out of guys like Brandon Stasevich and Zach Bailey and Cam Rayner. You start naming players, you should name a few more, but, Jared Lyons is another one. Jared Berry, Hugh McCluggage continues to improve. So it's no longer about Charlie Cameron and how many goals he can kick, and it's no longer about Lachie Neal and how many possessions he can get, or Harris Andrews for that matter. I think we've grown up as a team, and our guys understand that if you want to beat the best, you've got to be very even across the board. So I think we're in a better position in that regard. Across the course of the last couple of years in particular, we've played many teams that have had long winning runs against us, and we've been able to change that. There's one left, and we just want to embrace that challenge, and at some point in time we're going to change it. So it'll be great if it's on Friday night. Richmond are a very old, experienced finals team. You look back on the Tigers, they lost, three elimination finals in a row and then didn't make the finals, and then they eventually won a premiership. It takes time to build a really strong finals unit. We're hopeful that the two games that we had last year will hold us in good stead. In fact, I'm not hopeful, I know they have. I know we're much better prepared for finals than we have been. And then it comes just down to how much we can improve against them on Friday night. But we're all very much looking forward to the opportunity. And, you know, all I can say is that the finals experience that we had last year has made us even keener this year to do well. There's an element of respect around the Tigers for what they've done. Awe is a big word. Sort of supernatural. I'm not sure they're supernatural. They're just human beings like we are.
So there we go, Chris Fagan speaking yesterday. More on the elimination finals a little later, including Jack Loney with an update on his fitness ahead of the Saints' clash with the Western Bulldogs on the weekend. A bit of controversy over in the West yesterday with a bed shortage forcing a couple of the Pies into camper van quarantine. So a number of the staff members were due to sleep in beds at their hotel at the Joondalup Resort, but unfortunately, it's full. So they're having to go into a few camper vans. But Nathan Buckley had a bit of a laugh about that yesterday. More on that later on in the show. And just before we finish on footy for the time being, news about a former Pie yesterday. Heath Shaw being essentially told by the Giants he is not a required player in 2021 after not being offered a contract. So some unfortunate news there for the veteran of over 300 games. He won't be at the Giants next year. Perhaps he will be somewhere else. Already some linking him with a move to North Melbourne under his brother, but it's hard to see that happening considering North's recruiting policy at the moment. So that's one to watch in the coming weeks. It'd be a very handy pickup for a team that's in contention. Let's head to the French Open from overnight now. And as you heard off the top, Novak Djokovic did it easy in straight sets. 6-love, 6-2, 6-3. He's through to the second round. In terms of the Australians, we at least got someone through to the second round. It's been a lot of carnage amongst the Aussies. Unfortunately, Alexei Popperin went down to Harris of South Africa, 6-4, 6-4, 7-6. But a great win for Mark Polmans, 6-2, 6-2, 3-6, 6-3 over Humbert of France. So he is through to the second round. Fantastic news for him after John Millman was another Aussie to fail yesterday, going down 6-3, 6-2, 7-5 to Pablo Carreño Busta. So wonderful news there. A big casualty overnight too. The number 4 seed, Daniil Medvedev, who played so well at the US Open, out in the opening round on the clay. Fuskovic from Hungary was able to beat him 6-4, 7-6, 2-6, 6-1. So a big casualty there on the men's side of things. And then over on the women's side of things as well, a couple of live scores at the moment. Sabalenka is on court against Pegula. She leads 3-1 in the opening set. A few Americans getting through, including Sloane Stephens, 6-2, 6-2. And then some of the other winners from overnight included Sophia Kennan, another American who's through after a three-set win over Samsonova, and Pliskova, 6-7, 6-2, 6-4 after conceding the opening set there. So she heads through the number 2 seed to the next round. So plenty of results rolling in from the French Open. We'll have the latest on all the headlines from that with Craig Gabriel after 6:30 this morning on The Breakfast Club. Let's head to the cricket world now. Bad news for Mitch Marsh. He has got to come back to Australia after suffering an ankle injury in the IPL. even worse news, they lost his scans, so he doesn't quite know what's wrong with his ankle. Let's have a listen to how he explained that.
Hopefully I can get back for the last game, or maybe even two games if all goes really well. We don't really know what happened with the scans over in the UAE. Cricket Australia haven't been able to get their hands on them, so it's a bit of a weird situation. At this stage, I'm sort of hoping that I can get back for at least one Shield game. More than likely, it's syndesmosis, which is quite common in AFL circles, I think, and footy codes. So I think, obviously, worst-case scenario is surgery, but I don't feel that it'll be that bad at all. We got Cricket Australia got a report, but they weren't able to get their eyes on the scans, which probably made it tough for them to make real decisions around what it actually is. So that's why I'll probably go for a scan at some point in the next week.
That is an odd situation. Mitch Marsh currently quarantining, hoping to be back for final round of Sheffield Shield fixtures. So he won't be able to put his hand up over an extended period of time for the test team ahead of the first test in Brisbane against India. Speaking of India, the Indian Premier League continued overnight in Abu Dhabi. Sunrisers Hyderabad, 4 for 162. David Warner made 45 from 33 deliveries. He opened with Johnny Bairstow, who made 53. So they set 163 for the Delhi Capitals to chase down, which they weren't able to do after 20 overs, 7 for 147. So Sunrisers Hyderabad winning by 15 runs as the Capitals were falling short there. Stoinis plays for the Delhi Capitals. He made 11 from 9 deliveries. So that is the Australian involvement this morning in the IPL. Before we head to the break, some NRL news from yesterday, or overnight. This is in the Courier Mail this morning. The Brisbane Broncos have upped the ante on Craig Bellamy and their attempts to woo him. They have offered him a 10-year deal. This was Peter Bedell explaining further on NRL 360 on Fox Sports last night.
Speaking to the Broncos, I know they're privately still very confident of getting Craig Bellamy. Now, here is the interesting twist, guys. I can tell you tonight some breaking news on NRL 360. The Broncos have upped the ante for Craig Bellamy. They have tabled a deal of up to 10 years, a lifetime contract to try and get Craig Bellamy to Red Hill. Now, the discussions have evolved over the last few months, Ben, and I can tell you that there was an original discussion of a 5-year straight-up deal. They've also said to Craig, for you to come to Red Hill, we're prepared to look at a 3 to 5 year option in your favour, which would see him remain at the Broncos past his 70th birthday. It's remarkable stuff, Ben. He would coach be coaching director at the Broncos until beyond 2030 if he took the deal. Now, at this stage, Ben, he's insisted he hasn't signed anything. That is correct. But there have been discussions. Matt Tripp is aware, the Storm chairman, that Craig Bellamy plans to relocate to Queensland in 2022. The plan is now whether he ends up with the Broncos or works in a consultancy capacity with the Storm from 2022.
Geez, a 10-year deal would be very hard to turn down for Craig Bellamy there. He's got a big decision to make after the off-season in 2021 with his 2021. As that would start in a couple of years' time. So some news on that, I'm sure, over the next couple of weeks. And we'll hear more from the Storm and the Broncos camps as that story further develops. Time for a break at 13 to 6 on your Wednesday morning. On the other side of this, we'll hear from the new Matildas head coach, Tony Gustafson, who was appointed yesterday. Rugby news with the Wallabies having landed in New Zealand ahead of the Bledisloe Cup. NFL and NHL from yesterday, as well as some live Champions League scores on the other side of this.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
And they're trying to get there, and they get a trigger pull of a shot that went wide that time. And the Tampa Bay Lightning have won the Stanley Cup.
Tampa Bay winning the Stanley Cup final yesterday, 2-0. They win the series 4-2 over the Dallas Stars, securing their second ever Stanley Cup. So a big day there in the US yesterday. Meanwhile, in the NFL yesterday as well, there was plenty of action with two of the best teams in the competition going head-to-head, the Ravens and the Chiefs, but it was Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes leading the way 34 points to 20, the final score. The highlight, though, of the game was this touchdown from the Ravens, 93 yards.
Devin Duvernay had a pretty good return the last time, this time from the 10. Should give the Ravens excellent starting field position down the sideline. Butcher couldn't get him. All the way, Devin Duvernay for the touchdown. How about 93 to the house?
Not bad there, although it wasn't enough as they went down the Ravens 34 to 20. Let's head now to a few live Champions League scores for you from overseas before we check back on the domestic front. Dynamo Kiev 2-0 up against Ghent. This is in a playoff to get into the Champions League. They lead on aggregate 4-1. Meanwhile, Ammonia and Olympiakos are locked at nil all at halftime in their clash. Olympiakos leading that one on aggregate 2-0. So that's the second leg of their playoff as well to get into the Champions League. We'll monitor those scores throughout the morning and more from Russell Milton on that after 6:30 as well in the Breakfast Club. Let's head now to the home front in terms of soccer. New Matildas coach has been appointed, Tony Gustafsson. He spoke last night after the appointment.
Considering that it's been a lot of great coaches in the world that could have been actually getting this job, and I'm the one they choose, I'm extremely proud and I can't wait to get started. It's been a little bit of an emotional roller coaster this week, and also with a time difference, a lot of late nights, and the excitement and how inspired I feel kind of makes it, you know, I just want to get started. Well, I hope and I feel maybe the 21 years I've had of coaching have kind of put me in the positions to be ready for this. And it feels like it's come to a moment where this is what I've been waiting for, to lead the Matildas for 4 years, and also looking forward to the World Cup.
Not a bad time to take over the team as well. As he said there, he will see them through to the 2023 World Cup on home soil, which will be a magnificent occasion for him and the Matildas. He'll also see the 2022 Asian Cup in India and the next two Olympic Games campaigns. So there's a lot on the agenda for the new coach of the Matildas there, Tony Gustafsson. Just before we head back to the footy news, let's hear from Jordan Ulacy from the Wallabies. He's a Victorian, the only Victorian-born player to ever play for the Wallabies. And he spoke about camp over there in New Zealand. They're having to quarantine for a little while before they can actually start training as a group ahead of the Bledisloe Cup on Sunday week.
Being stuck in a room, you're really itching to get out there and I guess shed off the few pounds you gained in quarantine. For some, but really feeling it. I mean, the first test is next week. Time to, for the boys to put together what we've learned and I guess put our best foot forward. There are players out there who've had an awesome Super Rugby career season and, they're looking to really build in that and hopefully we've got a really young squad as well. So that's really exciting and, as I said, we're really looking forward to getting on the field and putting those combinations together.
Back to the footy ahead of this week's fixtures. We'll start with Jack Loney from the Saints. He gave an update to Channel 7 and Channel 9 last night about his fitness.
It's obviously handy to have that week off and refresh and get ready to go, but I'll be right to go. Yeah, what a bit of a scare. Obviously got tackled by Heeshaw and a bit sore in the knee. Took a lot of confidence coming back on and playing out the game and put up a little bit sore, but nothing will stop me from playing this week. I've been at the club for 6 years now and haven't played finals, so... we're really looking forward to it as a group.
Saints to take on the Dogs in the elimination final. Let's hear from Tom Liberatore in the build-up to that big clash.
We get pretty excited, as you saw a few years ago in the crowds. He sort of messaged me before and after a game, get pretty excited or give me a pat on the back or chin up or whatever. So, he's always good to talk to. Always pretty motivated to get back. I just needed to, to switch on a bit and just... I suppose get around my teammates and people more open-minded. Having missed out on, going that far since then, it's certainly driven me a bit harder to try and get there again.
Certainly, I think we've got what it takes to the challenge at the back end of October, so see how we go this weekend.
Tom Liberatore speaking there yesterday. Let's head to Jack Crisp from a Collingwood point of view. He says there's no excuses ahead of their elimination final against the Eagles on Saturday night.
We don't want any excuses. We feel like we can hold up really well against the top teams. I think it was the last four or five games. Felt really confident the way we were playing football. The only two games we lost were against Port and Brisbane, and only by a goal or two. So, defence holds up really well. I think we'll be looking for to put some scoreboard pressure on ourselves. But other than that, like, we know finals footy comes down to the contest. We feel like that's our one wood, and we can perform pretty well in big games. So, we're looking forward to Saturday night and ready to hit in. Can't wait. Obviously, it hurts the grand final. Every time we play West Coast, it's a good game, apart from earlier in the year. But we know we match up really well against them, and we've shown that. We know we come over here and travel well and put in a good performance. So, we're not showing confidence. We're ready to go. We feel like we're going to have the right mix together. We just got to match them in the contest and then obviously stop them from getting the ball into JK's hands or Liam Ryan, because we know they're very dynamic, but we feel like we've got a great defensive seven or eight and a good team mix that's going to stop their ball moving, and hopefully we can play the football in our forward half.
So big challenge coming up for the Magpies as they head west to take on the Eagles in the elimination final on Saturday night. Let's finish the footy with a bit of a sad story. Harley Bunnell is still in hospital. Here's Kayleen, his mother, on Bunnell's situation in the Gold Coast.
He's off a little bit with what you say on social media about somebody's child. He'll do anything for the next person. He has a good heart, and yet he just wants to come home and be with his family.
So hopefully he gets himself right, Harley Bunnell, and gets home safe and sound and enjoys retirement over the next 50 years of his life. That's it for The Breakfast Club on this Wednesday morning. Don't forget The Breakfast Club up next with Half and Mighty after 8:30, a Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate, and then Gareth Hall on RSN Central taking you all the way up until the first. There's a busy Wednesday to come. Looking forward to midweek racing. Stay tuned.